We'll take any more calls for a few minutes. Second only to the opening chapter of the Old Testament, which describes the creation to Christians. Chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. Well, maybe one other, the 23rd Psalm, but certainly in the three or four most familiar passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 stands out. It is that picture of the work of Christ that the theologians call the suffering servant Messiah picture, who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Familiar words heard by churchgoers, certainly around the world. He should grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground, speaking of the incarnation, as God's Spirit moved into a tent of human flesh. John uses that phrase as a verb. He tented in human flesh. Jesus of Nazareth, and took on our nature, kinned himself to us. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we go to the table of the Lord tonight, I want to again remind you, as I do every night, that one of the greatest caricatures of truth and distortions of God's revelation to permeate and pervert the Christian message has been the lifting out of context of Paul's instructions in the New Testament to the Corinthian church, in which he said that we are to partake of these elements at the table of the Lord worthily, saying, he and the opposite that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And for such cause, many are sick and weakly among you, and some sleep or die of those causes. He then explained what eating and drinking unworthily was, to eat and drink, not discerning the Lord's body, not seeing, not understanding what it is that this incarnate one accomplished by his atoning work at Calvary. You remove the cause of damnation, and by contrast, partake worthily when you eat and drink these elements, discerning their full meaning, discerning what's available, what was accomplished, what was obtained, what it was in fullness that Jesus did in offering himself on our behalf. That's why I teach before we go to the table each night. Tonight I take us to Isaiah 53 to open the eyes of discernment again. The mistake that has been made in distortion of what Paul taught is to just simply misquote what he said. And throughout the church world for centuries, people have listened as the table of the Lord is introduced and the elements provided to someone, saying, you better eat and drink, examining yourself to see if you're worthy. That isn't what Paul said. He never said one word about worthy. He said, don't eat and drink unworthily. That's an adverb. In the English language, adverbs modify the action. Adjectives modify the noun. Paul was talking about the manner of partaking, not the partaker per se. He said, you eat and drink unworthily. The manner of partaking. When you eat and drink, not discerning the Lord's body, what it is we are partaking of, and what it means, and what it provides. You thus can partake worthily when your eyes of understanding are opened and you partake discerning what is available in those elements. There shouldn't be any guilt in front of the table. What is needed is some instruction that opens the eyes. You're not to examine yourself to see if you're worthy. No one is worthy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. That which is symbolized in these elements as we partake. Christ made us worthy by what he did. To discern that is to partake worthily. The attention needs to be on Christ and what his action meant. And on our understanding of that action and what it provided for us. Not some misguided self-examination to see if we're worthy to partake of the elements. No one is. Paul wasn't. Only Christ ever stood before God worthy on his own merit. What he did, and that which we are to discern, is that he made us worthy. And the sickness and the weakness that was caused by partaking unworthily could be removed by partaking worthily. The reason for that is that part of what was provided when you discern the Lord's body is healing as well as redemption and covering for sins. That fourth verse, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Left that way could be spiritualized. God saw to it that it wasn't left that way with the ambiguity of the Old Testament language. Matthew 8:17, Jesus went about in a chapter that's filled with his healing actions of physical sicknesses and diseases. And Matthew, reaching back to this Isaiah 53 passage, explains that Jesus' healing of physical sicknesses was done that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and has carried our infirmities. Thus the options to spiritualize that which was carried by Jesus in his atoning act, the options are removed to just spiritualize it. Matthew 8:17 makes it very clear that it has to do with physical sicknesses, physical diseases. The verb, surely he hath carried our griefs, or borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, means to lift them off of us and carry them away from us. I repeat, for such cause, Paul said, many are sick and weak and die of those weaknesses. We're not preaching some kind of immortality where you don't die. But the Christian understanding of death is from the Psalms. He taketh their breath away. Neither would I suggest that those that are sick are somehow second-class citizens or in their condition because they have specifically sinned. But I will declare that whatever the cause, that's irrelevant. When you come to this table with eyes open and perceive that which Christ made available in his atoning work and death at Calvary, included in that work as prophesied in Isaiah 53, included in that work to be discerned, whereas not discerning it can allow the cause to continue in God's own understanding of it. Maybe the only place in Scripture where God himself says, for this cause, sickness is among you. Well, whatever that cause of sickness is, it can be lifted. When we discern, as we take these elements, that he hath carried away from us our sicknesses and our infirmities, lifted them off of us and carried them away. That's why, to you that are watching the television and can see, I'm holding up the bread. There are two elements in the communion, two elements at the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. If only sin were in focus, all you need is the wine. The wine symbolizing the blood in Leviticus in the Old Testament says the life of the soul resideth in the blood. For sin comes death. The blood of the perfect one who died in our place and was worth enough to God that he could take our place and pay the penalty. His blood spilled and poured out was life pouring out. Death is the penalty for sin. The wine symbolizes that. And we discern as we take the cup in just a moment that he spilled his blood and took the death that was due us that we might live. The bread symbolizes something in addition. Something in addition because he didn't just carry out that atoning work described in the fifth verse of Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him. But with his stripes, we are healed. He carried our sicknesses and our infirmities away to pick from the choices that the Hebrew word allows what Matthew, in the precision of the Greek, quoting the Septuagint, described as carrying sicknesses and infirmities away as a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. The bread is here that we might focus on need of healing. And after the event where Christ carried our griefs, bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, Peter, looking back in the New Testament, uses the same phrase as Isaiah uses here, looking forward, past the event. Peter looked back and said, with his stripes, past tense, ye were healed. An accomplished work of carrying sickness and infirmities away from us occurred in the atoning work of Jesus, and we are to discern that. Not discerning it can cause continuation of sickness and weakness that can be lifted as we take the bread and discern that not only for our sins, he carried our sicknesses and infirmities away, and with his stripes I was and you were healed. Take the bread in faith and lift it and partake in the knowledge that healing to all of you across this vast network that need healing tonight, discerning what Christ did at Calvary as we make this bread the focus of that faith and lift it and partake together, can bring Christ healing to you where you are right now. The cup, as already said, symbolizes the blood. Christ's life poured out. The reason there's so much blood associated with the sacrifices in the Old Testament, I've already told you. The life of the soul is in the blood. And because sin ran rampant and ruled, blood was spilled to atone, to cover. And vicarious sacrifices through the Old Testament pointed in type to that promise of God to take the blood of another in our stead. One worth enough to God to stand in our place for all mankind, poured out his blood that we might live. That's why I say there's to be no guilt at this table. Whatever your condition in relation to God, at this table we come as one, recognizing the grace and unmerited favor of God that he gave his Son that you and I might live. The one that had never been separated from him, separated, voluntarily taking that separation that was due us, that we might be joined at one with God in his atoning work. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And all of us, preacher, teacher, and listener, and congregant, we lift this cup in the knowledge we are made worthy, and discern we are made worthy because of the worth of the life that spilled its blood for me and for you. And as we take this cup and focus on the symbol, we discern that it's all right, our relationship with God. The sins have been carried away. The barrier has been broken. And God takes us as we are on the merits of what his Son did for us. I discern that. I want you to discern it. And with joy partake of this wonderful element that reminds us we are made just as though we're God, standing in front of God, looked at through the spectacles of Christ as though we were Christ, because we discern that he took our place, bore our sins, and poured out his blood that we might live. Take with joy and rejoice as we lift the cup. To those listening by radio, we'll take your collect calls. I always want to hear from you after communion. Area code 818-240-8151. Again, 818, area code 240-8151. We take your calls collect. Use your operator. Overseas, doesn't matter. All the rest of you, the number's on the screen. 1-800-338-3030. Get on the telephone and talk to me.